ever the Giant fans.
10, 5, touchdown!
The Giants are going to the Super Bowl.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Popper from the Giants Legacy Club in MetLife Stadium. One of the staples for the New York Giants has always been their running game. And it's more than just the running backs. It's been the play of the offensive line.
And in 1985,
the Giants found Bart Oates to be their anchor at the center position. Bart's road to the New York Giants took a curious path from BYU to the USFL.
So, Bart, you turn professional in 1983 and you start in the USFL. Mm-hmm. Tell me what that experience was like coming out of BYU.
You know, it was great. I had a great time in the USFL. I mean, no coincidence that I was on a good team. I was in Philadelphia with the Philadelphia Stars, so it, you know, made things more fun. We had a lot of talent.
Reggie White, right?
Reggie was with the Memphis Showboats.
Right.
Herschel was up here in New Jersey. We had a lot of talent. We had probably, I think, five or six guys that went on after the USFL folded that came into the NFL that became Pro Bowl players. So I started in the USFL in 83, and we went through that season, the first year, and, you know, the league kind of actually, you know, it was very successful for the first season. 84, played again. We won the championship in Tampa. I think they called it the World Bowl. And in 85, we were in the championship game that was actually right here in this, which now a parking lot, right?
In the Giant Stadium.
Giant Stadium, exactly. And we beat the Oakland Invaders.
But the overall instability of the USFL would force Bart to take his talents to the National Football League. And in 1985, Big Blue came knocking.
You know, the Giants just needed a center, and so, you know, I just kind of came along. So here I am, or here I was.
So what's it like, you're playing in the USFL, and now you wind up in the Giants camp, and you've got to get used to playing with a different quarterback. Phil Simms, I mean, what's it like the first time you meet him, and now you got to start working with the guy?
It just took a little time. I think Phil took a little time for him to get used to me and vice versa. You know, Phil was a guy that just had a good sense of a feel for the offense, just kind of the mentality of the offense. So, I mean, he knew when to really bear down. He knew when to, you know, to kind of bust you and to really put some pressure on you. I mean, just like Phil, there were times, you know, I'd give up and he'd just get smacked, you know, and he'd get in the guy that just sacked him, just buried him. He'd get in the guy's face, is that the best you got? And, you know, I'm like, Phil, calm down. Whoa.
I got to block him.
Yeah, that's the best you got. So, you know, but there's that attitude that, you know, as a lineman anyway, you just said, I'll play for a guy like that. I'll do whatever it takes to be successful.
How about because the offensive line, I mean, there's no substitutions. You're not rotating a player in it. I mean, it's the five guys playing the whole game.
Yeah. That's one thing that hasn't changed, by the way.
No, I know. Still the same five guys.
Those five guys are the same. Yeah.
So how long did it take you to get comfortable with the guys playing alongside you?
Well, it was Bill Ard on my left and Chris Godfrey on the right. Not long. Not long at all. I mean, Chris was just coming out of the USFL, too. And, of course, I'd already played 3 years professionally, so had kind of gotten used to the pace of the game, and you learn how to work with some, you know, the pieces. You learn your assignments, you learn the communication, you know, the process of communication, the timing. And then it's just a matter of getting a little comfort level.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Bart Oates. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Bart Oates.
The origins of the Suburbanites really began with Coach Parcells. I know he fancies himself an expert on personnel, and not just their playing abilities, but their backgrounds as well. Chris Godfrey, I guess, is the philosopher of the crew. Carl Nelson's an engineer. Bart Oates is an aspiring attorney. Billy Ard's a stockbroker, and I'm a car dealer. So all suburban type of jobs, and Coach Parcells started labeling us with that.
Did you guys have fun with the Suburbanite tag?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had fun. I mean, when you're winning, you have fun with anything. So.
Right.
Bill loved to kind of point out unique qualities of the different players. And, you know, we were all pretty much kind of that same age. We were all married, lived out in the suburbs, you know, lived this very typical suburban families. I mean, with little kids. So, I mean, Parcells coined the term, you know, you guys are just suburbanites.
Well, because they all had these names, Chris and Carl and Bradley and Bart, all these kind of sweet suburban names. No Joes, no Mikes, no Dannys, no rough and tumble guys. So I said, you're a bunch of suburban players.
If you live next door to a New York Giant offensive lineman, you'd think you'd be an insurance salesman or work in an office, because he'd leave at 8 and come back at 5 and with his wife and 2 kids in the suburbs, and very aptly named. Not to mention that they were all terrific football players.
We embraced it as a compliment, but I'm not sure it was intended that way. But Bill just did a great job of keeping guys, in spite of the success, you know, as we went on those few years, of keeping guys focused. And while we had great players, there were no egos. There was nobody that was bigger than the team. And I really think that was the success. While we did have some great players, we weren't always the best team, but we didn't have egos. I mean, we treated guys weren't always treated the same, irrespective of that, you know, from Harry to, you know, the guys who are now Hall of Famers, Harry and Lawrence, you know, or Phil. Yeah, everybody had to take their abuse. Traditionally, offensive linemen tend to be the, you know, I'd say the least athletic group. You know, they're also usually the tightest knit group and guys that stay together. And the offensive line that we had in 85, 86, 87-ish, we were all just pretty much overachievers. I mean, none of us, you know, between Benson, Ard, myself, Godfrey, and Nelson, were guys that were, you know, we didn't have any particular physical or strength or speed traits. So we worked together well. We took a system that was given to us, and, you know, we were able to do things and communicate well.
Let's go, guys. Make it easy on ourselves. Make it easy on ourselves. Let's go.
Can you play that position without being a natural leader? You were a leader of that group, be a center.
A natural leader? Yeah. I mean, you can grow into the position. Sure, you have to learn to accept some of the assignments, responsibilities. I'm more of a quiet, introverted guy, but you learn to play the role. It's not because you're better, it's just it's by virtue of your geographic location on the field. You can communicate with the other four guys better than any of the other guys can. Tackle on the right can hear him, the tackle on the left can hear him, whereas that's not going to happen with anybody else. So in order to be a good center, you have to be able to do things that are just beyond just the physical aspects of the job.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Bart Oates. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Bart Oates.
And Fred, get it in here.
All right, let's win.
People that watched our games weren't, it wasn't like, you know, watching this offensive juggernaut. It was, they were grind them outs. And heck, if we were up by more than 7 points in the fourth quarter, you know, we felt like we had an insurmountable lead. Huh. You know, we're going to win this game. No, nobody, you know, comes back and scores twice against us in the fourth quarter.
What's it like when you're part of this group, this offensive line, and you've got a running back like Joe, and you've got Maurice Carthon, who is as smart a fullback as you're going to get, and great lead blocker, and everyone knew it was coming, but you would just impose your will on the opposition. What was that like when it was all clicking?
Oh, when you're in a rhythm, yeah. You know, you get out there, and the idea is, let's start running the ball. And the running backs, you know, they're the ones who are going to kind of get used to expectation on certain runs, whether it's going to be an onside run, or where they're going to expect to cut back. And, so they kind of just get that feel as they move. The best ones obviously just take the ball and just run where they, it's an instinctive thing.
And in 1986, the Giants had one of the top running backs in the NFL. Behind Bart and the offensive line, Joe Morris would have an amazing season, rushing for over 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns.
I think that I had a great relationship with these guys. These are the guys that I lifted weights with. These are the guys I tried to train with. Phil Sims and I made sure they knew how important they were. And I'd always be listening to the line when I came to the sideline. I want to hear what they were trying to say about what was going on in different defenses. People knew what formation you were going to be in, knew how you were going to be getting the ball. They couldn't stop it. I said, that's because Carl Nelson, Brad Benson, Billy R., Chris Godfrey, and Bert Oates decided, okay, we're going to turn around. They know the plays we're running. They've seen them, but they couldn't stop it. It's a dominating thing from the offensive standpoint that you know that you're going to have the ball the majority of the game. It was based upon we had guys that would meet people at the point of attack and stop them. They called themselves the Suburbanites, and I think that they really enjoyed that, but they played very hard and did a very good job for me.
What about that 86 championship game against the Redskins? I mean, you know when you're pulling into the parking lot that it's real Giant Stadium weather. I mean, did you feel even an added burden like, you know, this is really kind of on us up front because it's going to be a game of field position and we have to run the ball against this opponent that we know very well and they know us?
Well, as I recall, I think we won the toss but elected to kick.
Right.
And that worked in our favor. We wound up scoring a couple of, twice there in the first quarter, which was ultimately, that was the deciding point since they didn't score any points. And, at that point, late in the year, we'd already gone through a whole December. We knew what to expect. It's going to be windy. It's going to be cold. But it's in our home. And it's with our fans. You don't get much better than that.
When you win the championship, you know you're going to the Super Bowl. It's the greatest feeling in sports.
Did you know what to do with yourself with the nice weather in Pasadena when you finally got to the Super Bowl? Must have been like crazy. Wow, the sunshine?
Yeah,
it's warm?
Yeah, this is nice. Those are perfect conditions, and hence, Phil. I remember going out there and went on the field maybe 3 hours before the game, just kind of walking around, just feeling the field, and, and Phil just came, I remember him coming up to him, man, I feel great. And he just was, he was zoned in. While it was close in the first half, we kind of imposed our will that second half and kind of blew him away.
The Super Bowl champions are the Giants, everybody's dream in football.
I remember being on the sidelines and just, it was surreal because anybody that plays the game, you start, when you're a kid in Pee Wee for the most part, you work your way up through high school and college and always have that dream of someday being in the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. It kind of stamps a place in history that can never be taken away. That's something that it will always be there.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Bart Oates. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Bart Oates.
That 90 team was just straight ahead in your face running. The biggest change of that team was the linemen. I think Bart Oates was the only same lineman from the 86 team. They were just bigger, stronger, just more of a pound them out, in your face running team.
Following their 1986 Super Bowl victory, the Giants would have high expectations. But they suffered some disappointing finishes in 1988 and 1989. The team would transition to a much younger offensive line, but center Bart Oates would remain the veteran leader, showing the new group the ropes.
Bill had left. Bill Ard, Chris Godfrey had gone. Of course, Brad retired. Carl had the Hodgkins.
William Roberts was now a starter.
Starter. We actually had a better offensive line. Jumbo and William on the left side, two very athletic, big, strong guys. And then we had Doug Riesenberg, just your consummate overachiever, the right tackle. And then between Bob Cratch and Eric Moore at the right guard. And Brian Williams was the other guy that was probably the most talented of any of them. I don't even know how we kept him on the bench, quite frankly. I don't know how that happened. But
how hard was that for you, though?
Bringing
the new guys along.
Bill did that to me every year. But, I had one of two choices, right? I could be, ticked off about it and pout, or I could just say, I'm going to work harder. And it made me a better player. I had my better years. I went to 5 Pro Bowls my last 6 years.
With a mixture of young talent and a veteran core, Bart and the Giants would return to the top of the NFL mountain in 1990.
10-0 to start the 90 season.
Yep.
Teams just kind of clicking along here. Then you start getting some injuries. Phil gets hurt in the game against Buffalo. What's going through your mind at that point? This is another wasted opportunity here?
We had a good run. That was nice. You know, I didn't, because Jeff and I, Hostetler, we lived in the same town. We sometimes rode into work, and Tuesdays we'd go play golf together. So we actually were very good friends. And he genuinely loved being here and on the team and part of the team. I mean, Jeff was a team player. I mean, he was, you know, a position that, you know, really requires a lot of self-centeredness. He was a team player. He played, you know, he, like Phil, they just played like tough linemen, you know. That's why I love playing with both those guys. But I remember sitting down with Jeff after it happened, and that next week, as he's, you know, now he's literally just thrust into the starting job, and saying, Jeff, this is your chance, man. We're going to be in the playoffs. We can put this thing together. And to the coaching staff's credit, we put into plays that really complemented some of his athleticism and some of his strengths. And offensively, we were able to be efficient and do what we needed to do.
The performance against the Niners in the NFC Championship game. I mean, did you think he was getting up off the turf? He took a couple of shots in that game where it looked like he was dead. I mean,
tagged.
He did.
He did.
Were you worried that he wasn't going to come back?
No. No, I knew he would. Whatever it took, I knew he'd be back out there. And, what people don't realize, he sustained a torn ligament. But, again, he was the type of guy that just was he was a tough, tough player.
Hostet was trying to pass, runs away from trouble, turns upfield, runs to the sideline and throws on the run and completes the ball. Yeah! Giants are trailing by a point. All depends on Matt Barr. Fans are on their feet and screaming. Matt, spot. Kick is away. It's got the distance. It is good. Good.
And the Giants are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the three-peats. It's over.
So now the Super Bowl comes. You still have your core guys from the 86 group. I mean, there's that 90 Giant team. There's still a lot of that veteran presence with yourself.
On the defense.
On the defensive side.
Offense had changed pretty much.
Right, because now you get the young receivers, you got Maggots in there, and you know that one of the ways that you have to win this game is you got to keep the ball away from their offense.
They'd beaten the Raiders the week before like 52-3 and just had just walked through that season and just dominating defense, dominating offense. And we got, backup quarterback. We've got a running back who's the oldest starting running back in the league. And I think Otis's pants could probably run by themselves at that point in the year, since he never let them get washed. But, you know, it was, we were the unlikely guys.
So what's it like as you drive the ball at the end of the first half and then you're in the middle of that incredible drive to start the third quarter? OJ's running the ball and just... He's like almost an extension of you guys, because once he gets into the second level, I mean, he's punishing the Bills like you guys are punishing the Bills up front. What's it like feeding off that when you're seeing your back doing what you're doing?
I mean, as a lineman, that's where you get your energy from. You get it by just going forward, pounding into guys, getting into a rhythm. And, you know, as good as they are, they just, you know, it's difficult to stop those things. But, you know, I could tell you, it was the third down plays. Third down is where we won the game.
And one of the signature plays for the Giants in Super Bowl 25 was Mark Ingram's clutch reception on 3rd and 13 with his heroic run after the catch, picking up 7 extra yards for the first down.
Well, you just watch and see what offensive lineman gets into the picture down there. I just started sprinting, and as it was, it just with the way Mark ran, I was able to kind of get in the way of a couple of would-be tacklers, you know. So kind of I wound up in the pile there at the end of the play.
Norwood misses the kick, and suddenly you're a 2-time Super Bowl champion. Was it as unbelievable as you could have ever imagined? Considering the frustration of 88 and then especially 89, to come back the next year
for
the Coastline.
Oh, that was just immensely satisfying.
Giants have won Super Bowl 25.
Oates played with the Giants till the end of the 1993 season. He finished his career in San Francisco, playing his last two seasons with the 49ers, winning a third Super Bowl in 1994. A true Ironman, Bart would never miss a game as a professional.
when I went out to San Francisco, when I retired after the 95 season, even though I was a 49er, they waived me. The Giants, I asked them if they would sign me to a contract so I could retire as a Giant. Because that was the respect that, you know, it was my expression to Mr. Mara and to the Giants organization and my appreciation. Once a Giant, always a Giant, means that there's always a pride with wearing that uniform. One of the best franchises in the NFL, one of the most successful, one of the most storied, and that's something that nobody can ever take from me. And it does give me an immense sense of pride to, you know, being part of that legacy and part of those teams that added to the success of this franchise.
Bart's accomplishments with the Giants were huge, winning two Super Bowls with two variations of the offensive line. First, it was the Suburbanites in 1986, and then transition to the different line, different running backs, the same results in winning a Super Bowl in 1990. After going on to play with the San Francisco 49ers and retiring after the 95 season, Bart would play his final game in the Pro Bowl. Bart Oates, a true Giants legend. That wraps it up for this week's edition of Giants Chronicles. I'm Bob Papa from the Legacy Club in MetLife Stadium.